So we're continuing on with the Shmona Esrei for Shabbos, and we're continuing to discuss the Shacharis Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. We already had a couple of classes on it, and this will probably be our last class on the Shacharis Shmona Esrei. In front of us are the two middle paragraphs. We already discussed the first. We're only discussing the middle section because the middle section is what's different for Shabbos. And within the middle section, there are four paragraphs. We discussed the first one. We continue to discuss the second one. We're just going to add one more point with regards to the second one. And then the third one is the second paragraph is on the page here. And then the fourth paragraph is just a repetition of a paragraph that's found by Mariv. So we're not going to discuss that because that's just whatever we said by Mariv applies. It's said in all the different Shmona Esrei that last paragraph is always the concluding paragraph for that section in the Shmona Esrei. So we'll go through these two paragraphs. We discussed the Vishamra B'nai Yisrael. We discussed that 2 weeks ago. And I just have one more point to make on it. So we'll just read it first. Vishamra B'nai Yisrael Asa Shabbos. This is now quoting from the Torah. The first paragraph said that we're going to quote from the Torah that the Jews kept Shabbos. Again, the focus here is on the Shacharis Shmona Esrei. The focus is on the fact that we received the Torah from Har Sinai, and that in the Luchos, in the Ten Commandments, contained in them are the Ten Commandments, and included in that is the mitzvah of Shabbos. And so then we quote psukim that relate to Shabbos. These are not the psukim, these are not the verses that are found in the Ten Commandments, but they do relate to Shabbos. So now this is a quote from the Torah. This is a quote in the Torah. One of the times that it mentions the fact that the Jews kept Shabbos. So it says, "V'shamu b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos." The Jewish people observe the Shabbos. "La'asus es haShabbos l'dorosam b'ris olam." They actively kept Shabbos. It's not just a passive form of keeping Shabbos, but they actively kept Shabbos for all generations. That this will be a covenant that lasts forever. That the Jewish people will keep Shabbos. "Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael osi li'olam." This is a covenant specifically between Hashem and the Jewish people. Uvayom hashvi shavas vayinafash. And then on the seventh day, Hashem rested vayinafash, and he rested again. So we discussed this in detail 2 weeks ago. I just want to make one more point, and then we'll continue on to the next paragraph. The last pasuk, the last verse says, Uvayom hashvi, on the seventh day, shavas, he rested, vayinafash, and he rested again. So we discussed the last class, why the repetition? It says he rested and he rested. So why the repetition? I want to give just one more explanation to it. And that's based on a piece in the Gemara, in the Talmud, which is in the second source on the bottom of the first page. The second source says as follows. The Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, Nishama Yisera Nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'adam Erev Shabbos. Hashem gives an additional soul to people, to mankind, right before Shabbos, on Shabbos Eve, on Friday afternoon. Each person gets an additional soul. Ulamotei Shabbos notlane oso hemenu. And then when Shabbos concludes, so then it's taken away. That additional soul is taken away. Shenamar, what's the source for this? It's the verse that we just quoted that's found in the Torah and also in our Amida and the Shmona Esrei for Shacharis. Shavas vayinafash. The repetition that Hashem rested and he rested proves to us that we get an additional soul on Shabbos. How does it prove it to us? Shavas vayinafash. It says, Kevan sheshavas voy avda nefesh. Since Hashem rested, oy avda nefesh. The English continues on to the next page. Oy avda nefesh. We say, woe is it to the lost soul, the soul that is lost. So when we say Shavas Vayinafash, the way they're understanding this verse, it's saying that Hashem rests, or really, we rest. What?
He stopped his work.
He stopped his work, but the way the Talmud is interpreting this is Shavas Vayinafash, that Hashem rested, or that we rest, and after we finish resting, when it's over, then it's Vayinafash. The Vayinafash is divided into, in Hebrew, it's Vav Yud Nun Pei Shin. Vayinafash, that word. They split that word into two to say Vav Yud, which means Vay, which means Oy, which is woe. And then nefesh. Woe is it to the soul. Nefesh is nefesh, soul. So they break up that word into two to say that means when we rest, after we finish resting, so then woe unto the soul. Because that additional soul now leaves the body as Shabbos finishes.
Does that mean there are three souls on Shabbat?
Why do you say three?
Because we already have two.
So there's really one soul. Then there's, I think you're referring to a Hasidic idea of the two different aspects to the soul.
Of course I am.
Yeah. So that there is one soul. There's two different aspects. I'm not so familiar with this, but I believe that there are two different aspects to the soul, that which is what you're referring to, but it's one soul. And then we get this additional soul, which would be potentially a second soul. Potentially a second soul on Shabbos.
Is that only if you keep Shabbos?
Is this only if you keep Shabbos?
Is that
I'm not sure if it's... We'll see. We'll discuss it. There's different opinions out there exactly why, what causes this... you to get this additional soul.
What happens to the additional soul once Shabbat is
okay.
over?
Okay, so to explain it, first of all, has anybody heard of this before?
No.
Okay, so there is this concept of getting an additional soul. We'll explain in a minute also the reason why by Havdalah, after Shabbos, by Havdalah, the reason why we smell besamim, we smell the spices, the reason for that is because we're comforting ourselves over the lost soul that left after Shabbos. That is the reason why we smell besamim, why we smell the spices after Shabbos. It's really to comfort us over that lost soul. I'll try to explain exactly how it provides comfort. But this even has halachic ramifications. So first, explain this soul. So some do explain that this is a second additional soul. But I think many explain that it's not an additional soul, but it's an additional part to your actual soul. It's not like you get an additional neshama, an additional soul, but it's an added component to your pre-existing soul, to your pre-existing neshama. So it's not really viewed as, according to those opinions, it's difficult to understand how you can have two. So they say that it's not really two, but it's an added layer, an added component to that pre-existing soul.
Chassidut teaches that you have the nefesh and the nefesh hara. That's two souls.
Okay, so I can't comment because I'm not so familiar, but
okay. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
That
I just
has
I
nothing to do with neshama
yetera. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, you're talking about the original.
About
yeah, so I don't know. I always assumed that was all part of the.
Yes, it is. It's an evil soul, a soul of evil inclination.
I always viewed it as two components. I'm not holding at all. But I always assumed that when they discussed it, it's talking about two different aspects to your soul. But I don't know.
Nefesh Elokit and Nefesh
Behemit. No, I know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so this is the additional soul. What exactly is this additional soul? Where does it come from? So first, where does it come from? So the actual verse, the actual pasuk itself says, "Vayom Hashi Shavas Vayinafash." Who is it referring to? In the actual verse itself, it's referring to Hashem. It's not referring to us. It's really referring to Hashem. It says that Hashem created. During the 6 days of creation, he created the heavens and the earth. And then on the seventh day, Hashem rested, and he rested again. It says it a second time that he rests again. So it's really coming from, it's referring to Hashem. And yet the Talmud says that it's talking about us, that for mankind, there's an added layer of a soul brought to people on Shabbos. So how do you really explain the two? So some explain that it's through Hashem's resting that we then get that additional soul. When Hashem rests on Shabbos, it comes to us. So that would seemingly imply that everyone gets it. At least all Jews would get that additional soul. Whether or not they keep Shabbos, they would get that additional soul because it comes from Hashem resting. So therefore, we get that additional soul as well. Others explain that it's specifically, even though The simple explanation is that it's referring to Hashem, that God is resting. But in this additional layer of interpretation of the Torah that's found in the Talmud, it's really saying that we are resting, and that it's through our rest that we get that additional soul. It's because we are resting that we have an additional soul, or an additional aspect to our soul.
That would mean then that those who don't keep Shabbat don't get the additional soul.
That would be the implication.
They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
No, they don't have to be. Well, the two ideas?
Yeah.
Well, the question is, where does this additional soul come from? Does it come from Hashem resting, or does it come from our rest? So I guess the ramification would be, what happens if we do not rest, for somebody who doesn't rest, potentially.
Okay.
So do people just choose what they want to believe in this case, because it's conflicting?
There's a dispute. I leave it. I'm presenting you the different opinions that are out there.
Machlokes.
Yeah, what exactly happens? What is this additional soul referring to? Or I wouldn't say additional soul, but the additional component of the soul. What exactly is it referring to? So there are some of our classic commentators explain that this is really has physical ramifications. That it's like a physical aspect to the. That it really impacts our physical body, such that, you know, we eat more on Shabbos. That's basically what they say, that we eat more on Shabbos. There's more of the physical component on Shabbos, which is very interesting because it really highlights one of the big differences between Judaism and definitely Christianity about the relationship between the physical and the spiritual. And when you think about getting an additional soul, we usually do not think about it in terms of a physical sense, that additional component to the soul will then impact our physical nature, from a Christian perspective. But Judaism believes that a large part of Judaism is to uplift the physical, to bring holiness to the physical world. And so therefore it makes a lot of sense that when we get that additional soul, so then it goes both ways. We make the mundane, the physical, holy, and then when we get that additional aspect to the soul, when we become more spiritual, so then that also changes our physical nature. So it goes in both directions. And that really, it really definitely highlights one of the key underlying values of Judaism. And that is definitely one perspective that's taken. There's another classic commentators explain that it's not referring to a physical change, but it's more of a intellectual change. It's a change in mindset, and that's really through keeping Shabbos. That it really, by keeping Shabbos, by observing Shabbos and resting, so then that it just changes your mind. It changes how you think. You have that ability to sit, relax, and just be. And that gives you a different mindset, a different way of just looking around and observing the world. I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and they said they went on, what's this hike? There's a hike in Victoria Island or something. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Victoria Island, Vancouver Island.
No, maybe Victoria. Maybe it's in Victoria. There's a...
Okay.
West Coast. Yeah, where
West
is it?
West Coast Trail.
Yeah, it's
very rugged trail. Yeah.
Where is it?
It's on the West Coast. No, it's on the West Coast of Vancouver Island.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on Vancouver.
Yeah,
yeah, Vancouver.
Takes several days, and you
yeah,
have to be.
Yeah, takes several days. So he told me he did it. He did it a couple of times.
Wow.
And there's no cell phone service. There's nothing.
Nope.
So and it's just for a couple of days. So he said that over that experience, you know, not that that's keeping Shabbos, but and he did it during the week. But it's just the idea of just removing everything else that you have. No, you're not focused on anything. You're just going on a hike. He went for 4 days. So it just he said that it lets you just open up and, you know, you're not busy all the time, 24/7, so that definitely changes how you view things and you're able to have normal conversations.
Shabbat is island in time.
Yeah, it's Kedusha in Zman, it's holiness in time, for sure. So that's a different way of looking at it. That's the second way of looking at this additional soul. So whether it could either impact the physical, which is the first perspective, or it's really just it's the soul in an intellectual, in a mindset, just our awareness level, that we have a different type of awareness on Shabbos than the rest of the week, which is also why Shabbos is a day of studying Torah, because once we have that additional soul, so we have a different way of looking at things, and so therefore, it's really a time that should be set aside for some study of Torah, as we have that additional soul, that additional component of the soul, which is a part of us. If you look back at the Gemara, at this piece in the Talmud, there's a question which is, if you read it, does any questions come up if you read it? You can read it in the English also, specifically with regards to the proof of the additional soul. Could you think of any questions on this piece in the Talmud?
What does that really
mean? This is source 2, from source 2.
Oh. Well, my question is, why is the second soul or the second aspect removed after Shabbat?
Well, it's something which is unique to Shabbos, because Shabbos is a more spiritual day, so therefore it's designated for Shabbos. That aspect is designated for Shabbos. But what exactly is the proof? How do we prove that we get an additional soul? Does it say in English?
Mm-hmm.
It's not so clear in the English here, but the proof is that the proof is that it says vayi nafash, which is vay is woe, nafash for the additional soul that is lost. The proof that we have an additional soul comes from the fact that they learn from the verse, from the pasuk, that we lose the soul after Shabbos. When Shabbos concludes, after we rest, so then woe is it to that additional soul. Woe is it for losing that additional soul. So it's a little strange that the proof of the fact that we have an additional soul comes from the fact that we lose it after Shabbos. If I was God and I was writing the Torah, I would write it, you know, I would try to hint to it to the fact that we get an additional soul on Shabbos, not that we lose it after Shabbos. Implication is that we get an additional one on Shabbos. I would prefer to highlight the fact that we get an additional soul on Shabbos, not that we lose it after Shabbos. Why is the main focus of the proof the fact that we lose it after Shabbos, not that we get an additional aspect of the soul on Shabbos itself? It's just that
I wonder what would happen, because if you just mentioned about getting the extra soul on
Shabbos, you wonder what happened afterwards.
Then you wonder, are you getting another soul the next Shabbos? I mean, there has to be a give, you know, a you get and then it goes away.
But at least mention both. Both mention the fact that we get it and that it goes away. Here, the verse only says that when we rest, it goes away after Shabbos. It never says that we actually get one. It's just by implication. So why exactly? It's a little strange from the Gemara that.
Part of me would say that maybe we're not supposed to have the mindset that we're supposed to get something, that we're supposed to just kind of go into Shabbos doing the right thing, and that this is our reward, instead of kind of pointing out so blazingly that we will get this if we do this, like almost like a reward.
Okay.
Maybe it needs to be kind of.
So I think we'll get to a similar idea. Yeah. There might be a similar idea to that. Yeah.
So it just dawned on me that a new soul is created on Shabbos?
An additional aspect of the soul. There's an additional.
I thought there's no creation on Shabbos.
So it happens right before Shabbos. We have it throughout Shabbos. It says it happens before Shabbos.
Well, so I'm not quite clear on how to express this, but when we do Havdalah, we're differentiating between Shabbos and the beginning and the rest of the week, and it's sad in some aspect because Shabbat is ending, and therefore we have to go through the rest of the week. So this idea of the extra aspect of the soul disappearing makes us, in a sense, look forward to the next Shabbat to be able to acquire it.
It's still looking forward to the next Shabbos. Okay, excellent. That was another idea that I also saw. So both of these ideas, I'll just expand upon it a little bit, but one idea is that the reason why the focus is on the fact that we lose the soul and not that we get an additional aspect to the soul is that it's there for the contrast, so that the next Shabbos, we realize that during the last 6 days, we lost the soul. Now we look forward to getting that new soul. You need that contrast there. You need to have that contrast, and so therefore, the focus is on losing a soul. We are upset over the fact that we're losing that additional aspect of the soul. What we look forward to in another 7 days, we're going to have Shabbos again. We'll have Shabbos again. We will have that additional aspect of the soul. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is similar to what Robin said, which is that we only appreciate the soul, according to this explanation, which is by the pre-tzaddik.
When you've lost something, you appreciate it.
Well, that's the first idea, that when you've lost it, so then you appreciate it. The second idea is that we only appreciate Shabbos as we go through Shabbos. They're highlighting the fact that if we lost the soul Friday night, it wouldn't be terrible. We wouldn't feel the impact as much because we've only experienced part of Shabbos. As we go through the entire Shabbos, so then we feel more of that connection to that additional aspect of the soul. And as we conclude Shabbos, and then towards the end of Shabbos, we have the highest level of our connection to that additional soul, and then we really feel the impact as Shabbos leaves. And so it's really as Shabbos is leaving that we feel the biggest impact. If we were to lose the soul earlier, it wouldn't be as big of an impact. And it's really, the point is that the entire Shabbos, it's not just a part of Shabbos, but the entire Shabbos is really, should be a transformative experience. It should have some sort of impact on you as you go through Shabbos in its entirety. It's not just a part of Shabbos, but throughout Shabbos, as you go through it, so then it has a bigger and bigger impact on you, which is also why I think they say that at Shal Shittas time, which is towards the end of Shabbos, that's viewed as the most spiritual part of Shabbos. Towards the very end of Shabbos is supposed to be that highest level of spiritual connection is towards the end of Shabbos.
Can you just explain to me why Chabad, for example, does not have Suzar Shishit?
They don't have it because no. I can't speak for them, but as far as I understand, they replace it with Torah. I think the reason is it's based on this idea that it's a very spiritual time, and so therefore they don't want to focus on food, but they want to focus on Torah study. So I think that's why they don't have it. I believe that's the reason why they don't have it, because it's the most spiritual time of Shabbos.
So what makes it so spiritual? Like in what way?
It's because if you're going through all of Shabbos, every part of Shabbos adds up. It builds up until you get to the very climax. Exactly, it's the very end. It's that climax. And then once you hit the climax, so then you say Abdullah, and then then you lose it. So and that's why the focus is on losing it at that point. We lose that additional soul.
So does that mean that it would be good to do study during Shal Shittas?
No more Scrabble. there are some places in New York where the shuls, they have like very very powerful Shal Shittas. Also in yeshivas, a lot of yeshivas, the Shal Shittas, which is the meal at the end of Shabbos, is very intense. There is a lot of singing, a lot of Divrei Torah. It's
I remember that from Jerusalem. Little girls would come, they could go freely and walk safely across Jerusalem, and they would come to visit me, and as I opened the door for them, I could hear.
You could hear the singing.
And this was toward the end of Shabbat.
Yeah, that's what they would be singing, yeah.
It was wonderful.
For sure. Yeah. There's some shuls where they have Shal Shittas at a certain time where it could then go into post-Shabbos. So they set the shul on a timer such that where they're eating Shal Shittas, the timer goes off when Shabbos is over and it turns off the lights. And everyone's just singing with a dark room and the rabbi is sharing Divrei Torah. That's a dream that I have, and I'll do that in Sharet Tzedek in a few years. Okay. You can now quote me on this because I have it recorded. Okay, so that's the idea of the soul. One final idea, and then we'll continue, is that what is the idea of how do we comfort the body, or really the really comforting the soul for losing that additional aspect of the soul. How do we do that? That's through the besamim. By Havdalah, we smell the spices of the besamim, and then we are supposed to feel comforted over the loss of that additional aspect of the soul. What's the connection? Why specifically smelling spices? What's the idea behind that? So if you turn the page to source 3, this is a verse in Tehillim, from a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "Kol ha'neshama tahalaka haluka." The literal translation is, "Let all that breathe, anyone that breathes, they will praise Hashem." But another way of reading it in the verse is, "Kol ha'neshama," not just everyone that breathes, but
the whole neshama.
All aspects of the neshama should praise Hashem. All aspects of the soul, all aspects of the person should praise Hashem. And this is the source to the fact that we even make a bracha, we say a blessing over spices, over smelling spices. If you smell specific types of spices, you'd make a bracha even if it's not by Havdalah. You'd make it during the week also, if it's a specific type of a spice. And the idea behind that is that our entire body, all of us, all aspects of ourselves are supposed to praise Hashem. And that's why even when we smell spices, we're supposed to praise Hashem over that smell. And so we're just taking everything that's a part of us, and we are praising Hashem. And so I thought that maybe this could provide comfort, that we're losing that additional aspect of the soul. We're now entering into 6 days where we don't have that as high of a level of awareness of having that additional soul. And the way we're comforted by it is by remembering that even though we're heading into the weekday and it's not Shabbos, but we still have that ability to praise Hashem with everything that we have, with our entire body, through what we see, what we smell. We're able to praise Hashem through everything, and that's our comfort. We lost the additional soul, but we still have that ability to praise Hashem during the week, and so that's the comfort that we get by smelling the spices. So it's not just, you know, it's not just the smell itself, but it's the idea behind the smell, that we're able to praise Hashem through all of our senses. Yeah. Now let's move on to the second paragraph. So this is really the third paragraph in the middle part of the Shemona Esrei.
Can I ask,
that's just to get benefit from the light. Yeah, that's the benefit that you get from the light itself. That's the idea behind it. Okay, so v'lo nisato Hashem Elokeinu l'goye ha'aratzos. Again, we're back on page 1, on the first source, the second paragraph. Hashem, you have not given Shabbos to l'goye ha'aratzos, to the nations of the world. This is a gift which is unique and special to the Jewish people. V'lo inachalto malkeinu l'avdei psilim. You have not given it over to those that are idol worshippers. And also its rest, the rest on Shabbos, you do not give it to those that are uncircumcised, meaning that's referring to the nations of the world who do not have a commandment of a milah, of circumcision. And so these are three phrases of referring to the nations of the world. We have goyei ha'aratzos, the nations of the land, that Hashem, it's very repetitive. Hashem didn't give the Shabbos to the nations of the land. Hashem didn't give it over to those that are idol worshippers. Hashem didn't give it over to those that are not commanded in bris milah, in its circumcision. So why the repetition? Why the three times? Why it's very repetitive? What's the need for this?
Emphasizing the specificity of giving it to us.
It's definitely to emphasize that, and I think that's probably the main point, is to emphasize that it's specifically to us. But do these three different phrases refer to different aspects of the nations of the world? So we'll give an explanation to each one and how it's really it's highlighting a different reason why it's given specifically to the Jewish people. But just also the number 3 when it comes to Shabbos is a big number for Shabbos. We mentioned that there for the three tefillahs of Maariv, Shacharis, and Mincha, there are different themes of Shabbos, different types of Shabbos. On Friday night, the main focus of Shabbos is that Hashem rested on the seventh day. of the when he created the world, he rested on the seventh day, and that's the theme of Friday night. We said that on Shabbos morning, the theme in our davening is that Hashem gave us the Torah. That's the second theme of Shabbos. And the third theme of Shabbos is in the afternoon by Mincha, which is that Hashem, which is referring to the Olam Haba, during the times of Mashiach, that in the world to come, it will be days which is what's called Kulo Shabbos, days which are completely Shabbos. They're all Shabbos. And those are three different themes of Shabbos. Again, it's the 7 days of creation, that Hashem rested on the seventh day, that Hashem gave us the Torah is the theme of Shabbos morning, and Shabbos afternoon, the theme is Olam Haba, that we look forward to the days where it will be days completely full of Shabbos. And so one explanation is that we have three different phrases of the nations of the world to reflect each theme of Shabbos. It's really reflecting each different theme of Shabbos.
Robert, can you just say that first nation was the ground each of them was?
There are three different names for the nations of the world, for the non-Jews. One is that they're Goyei HaRatzos, the nations of the land. The second one is that they are idol worshippers. And the third one is that they are not circumcised. They don't have the obligation to the mitzvah of circumcision. So we will now explain and go through each phrase. What's unique about each phrase?
So interesting
that it's grouped like that. Yeah, it is interesting, yeah. So we'll go through each phrase. Goyei HaRatzos. The first one is that they are the nations of the land. And that, the commentators explain that that's referring to the fact that they focus on the physical and the mundane. That's what their focus is on. It's not on the spiritual, but it's on the physical. And since Shabbos is about the spiritual, so therefore they are not given Shabbos because their focus is on the physical. Their relationship with the world is on a very physical level. The second phrase is Ovdei Psila, that they're idol worshippers. That's in the idol worshippers. That's in the second paragraph. It's Ovdei Psilim, which is the last two words in the second line, and also where it says idol worshippers. Ovdei Psilim is idol worshippers. That's to highlight what was idol worship. Idol worship was that instead of connecting to God who created the world, they would connect to the sun or nature. First, they would say, "Look at nature. What's providing? What's controlling nature?" That you have the sun and the moon, and they would start bowing down to the sun and the moon and the stars. Essentially, what they were doing was they were removing their relationship with God, and then they were focusing their relationship on what they thought was really in control, which is the sun, which provides light, and the moon and the stars. And they would use nature, and they would the intermediaries, that which Hashem put into place to provide light and to run nature, they then viewed them as powers unto themselves. Instead of just intermediaries, they were viewed as just they have the power unto themselves. And so essentially what idol worship was removing that connection from Hashem to something else. It was saying it's not God might have created the world, but now he's given over his power to others, to the sun god or to the moon, whatever it was. And so therefore they intentionally distanced themselves from the relationship to Hashem, and they moved it over to the sun and the moon and to other aspects of nature. And so for those people who want to distance themselves with the relationship with God, so then Hashem is not going to give them the day of Shabbos, which is a day on focusing on our relationship with Hashem.
You know, I find this really interesting because so many people that I know, when I tried to, unfortunately, do my kiruv, and it didn't work, because a lot of times people I find say so much my spirituality is just walking in nature. Like that's my relationship.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting because it just proves right here that, yeah, that's great, God created it, but they removed the God part.
They're removing the God part from it.
That's so interesting. I hear this so much. You know, my thing is going down seventh heaven at Whistler or climbing up Grouse or whatever it is, and those are all great things, but it's really missing that really important link.
Yeah, for sure.
The everything. God's so evident in all those things.
But the people I find, I don't know about you guys, but I find when I talk to people, which I try to do less of now, about this, this particular, there's no winning because they just don't want anything. They can't perceive or don't want to go there. Like it,
totally frustrating.
Yeah, it's just so interesting because this is such a beautiful way of
yeah, for sure.
Putting into context, don't you think?
Yeah.
My question, as you explain all of this, and I know you're not finished with the third aspect, is how does it all sound so negative, which it is, but how does this square with those people of the world who aren't, A, not Jewish, and but B, do follow the Noahide laws?
Yeah, so if they follow, it's true.
Because
they follow the Noahide laws, and they have a relationship with God. But ultimately, this is the reason why it wasn't given to the nations of the world. You could have those that are the pious, righteous Gentiles, and we have them. But ultimately, Shabbos was given as a gift to the Jews. So the Jews have this special relationship, and you could have a righteous Gentile who also, many are of the opinion that they have a portion in the world to come, and they have that aspect to it. But Shabbos itself is a gift specific to the Jewish people.
And these are the seven Noahide laws.
Oh.
There you go.
Now
the third aspect is the third group of description of the Gentiles is Arelim, that they're not circumcised, which is very strange. Like, why would you categorize them as people who are not circumcised? It's just, like, why specifically that?
Because it makes them obviously not children of Yaakov.
You're saying because it's something which is you could observe it, you could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's
latent.
Yeah. So there, but I think the idea of Bris Mila, the concept of Bris Mila, the idea behind it is really to show how we are making the very physical, the part which is extremely physical, and making it holy, like something which you mentioned before. And so that is our focus. That's our focus. Our focus is to make even that which is extremely physical and to make it spiritual. And so that is not something which that's not for many Gentiles the main focus. And so therefore they're described as people who are not circumcised. That's the description that's given. That's also the description that's given throughout, if you study Talmud, it's found throughout Talmud that they're referred to as Arelim, those that are not circumcised. And that's an idea behind that. So again, the three different descriptions of the Gentiles are the fact that they focus on the mundane. That's their focus. The second is that they've removed their connection to God and moved it into nature. And the third one is that even within the mundane, they don't look towards the mundane to uplift it, to make it holier, but they just keep it as mundane, as something which is just purely physical. We will now see how that, as we continue on in the next couple sentences, how the Jewish people then have three aspects to them, and it's to counteract those three aspects. So let's go through, let's continue through the paragraph. It says, Ki Yisrael amcha nesata bi'ahava. So first we say why Hashem did not give it to the Gentiles, but he did give it to the Jewish people. He gave it to the Jews bi'ahava, with love. L'zer Yaakov asher bam b'charta. He gave it to the children of Yaakov, whom Hashem chose, the children of Yaakov. Am mikadesh shvi, the nation that sanctifies the seventh day. So here too we have three phrases referring to the Jewish people. We have Ki Yisrael amcha, Yisrael, your nation, the Jewish people, your nation. You gave it to the Jewish people with love. Then it says you chose the children of Yaakov. And then it's Am Mikadesh Shvi, the nation that made the seventh day holy. So here too there are three descriptions of the Jewish people. And some of the commentators explain that it's really to counteract the three types, the three descriptions of the Gentile. So again, the first description of the Gentile was that it's somebody who's mundane, physically, they focus purely on the physical. And so we are described as God's nation. The first description is that we are Yisrael, we are Bnei Yisrael, God's nation. So our focus is not on the physical, it's on God. We're We're his nation. And that's the first description. The second description counteracts the second description, which is given to the non-Jews, which is that they're ovdei psilim, they're idol worshippers, and so therefore they've connected to nature and not to God. And so we say, no, Hashem chose us. We are the children of Yaakov. We continue to have that connection to Hashem. And then finally, we're referred to as Am Mikad Sheshivi, the nation that makes the seventh day holy. We make the seventh day holy, which is to counteract the description of the non-Jews, which is the fact that they don't have the commandment of Mila, of circumcision. They don't make the physical something which is holy, which is spiritual. We sanctify the seventh day. We are the nation that takes the seventh day and we turn it into a holy day.
Oh,
so which is...
Bris
Mila is on the eighth day.
Eighth day.
It's on the eighth day. So, but it's an interesting point that we sanctify the seventh day into making it holy. There is... Bris Mila is one of the only things where we would have a bris on Shabbos itself, even if it violates certain aspects of the Shabbos, we still have a bris. And perhaps an idea behind that is that Bris Mila is really about, is highlighting part of what Shabbos represents, which is to make the physical and make it holy. All of Shabbos is we wear nice clothing, we have better food. What's the idea behind that? And the idea behind that is to create an atmosphere where we're taking the physical and we're elevating it. And that's the idea of Bris Mila. And so therefore we will have that Bris Mila on Shabbos, even though it might violate some aspects of the laws of Shabbos itself. And so that's Am Mikad Sheshvi, to counteract that third description of the Gentiles, which is that they are not commanded in Bris Mila.
The idea that if you have a Bris Mila on Shabbat, you don't delay welcoming a Jew into the nation.
That's for sure, yeah, that's for sure part of it. Yeah. We will delay it if it's not on the eighth day. If you have to, if the baby's sick or whatever, then we won't have it on Shabbat,
yeah.
Specifically on the eighth day. But
doesn't this make, like, don't these, this comparison, I just find it fascinating because it just makes so much sense. Like, I think if more people knew that, don't you think that they would want to embrace Judaism more? Like, I think that this is a bit of a secret. Like, I mean, I've been studying, okay, not every day, but I've been studying a lot, and I don't know, the way it's presented here, it's like, I don't know, this is just beautiful. Like, it just makes sense to me.
I agree, but I think that what happens with a lot of people who come from outside these ideas is that they feel that studying will put an obligation on them to actually do and perform. And that's maybe what they don't want to start up with.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's probably very true. So I would say that.
Yeah.
So better not to start in the first place. You know, I just don't want to know because it's going to make me have to do it.
Anyways, just to conclude, we're just to finish off the paragraph. Kulam yisvu yisangu mitivecha. They will all, the entire Jewish people, will be delighted from your goodness. Ubashvi ratisa bavikidashto. You made the seventh day holy and desired it. This is just talking about the desire that we have for that seventh day for Shabbos. Chemdas yamim oso karasa. You called it the desired of days, the most desirable of days, and they explain that during the week we have a desire for Shabbos to come. Finally, Zechir L'Maaseh Bereishis. The whole idea of Shabbos is a remembrance of the creation of the world, that Hashem created the world, and it becomes the day that we look forward to during the rest of the week. Okay, that's the end of that paragraph, and next week I think we'll have a Purim topic.